today, Keith. Mm-hmm. Let me bring you up to speed.
All right.
Okay, go right ahead, buddy.
You were going to bring me up to
Jennifer,
speed.
The reason I'm doing this is in the last half hour, my co-host, who's a real good friend of mine.
Oh, I know who our guest is, Jennifer.
That's not who I'm talking to, Keith.
Huh?
No.
No, who are you talking to?
Well, that's if you just sit there a minute and wait for just a second. In the first half hour, Ms. Shaw.
Jennifer Shaw is our guest. I know that.
I had a little bit of a sensitive issue.
Yeah, all right.
And we need kind of a lightening up, okay? And so this could not be any better. So, Keith,
all right,
let me introduce you to Jennifer Shaw, the author of Dumplings Mean Family. Mean Family.
Mean
and
family.
Believe it or not, there's a character here that looks a lot like you.
Oh, no. Okay?
But not only that, National Adoption Month. So we've got a lot in common.
Yeah,
Jennifer, welcome to Good Morning Ozarks. Meet my good friend, Keith.
Good morning, Jennifer. Good to meet you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, he's just sorry because I said that his football team lost when they actually won.
That's
and they don't
it.
Do that so often that, you know, so he was a little upset
Jennifer,
with me.
That's not.
He'll get over it.
That's not it at all. He used a puffing comment to me. It probably wasn't very good. Hey, Jennifer, where are you from?
Yeah, let's find out about you. Born, grew up, and a little of your faith journey, and then we'll get to the book.
Well, I am in Columbus, Ohio. And I was born in Columbus, Ohio. I grew up here, and then left for a while, lived in New York for a while, and then came back here to take a job here, be closer to family, and I've been here ever since. So this is my hometown.
Well, Jennifer, we like the Columbus area, and there's a lot of big Ohio State fans will be looking forward to their big game against Michigan at Michigan. This coming Saturday, and Keith and I follow some college sports, and so I looked down today to tell him that, my goodness, Ohio State just slumped Michigan State the other day.
Yeah.
But the Columbus area and the Buckeyes and the good old Midwest people, what got you interested? First of all, I've got the book, Dumplings Mean Family. Mean, M-A-N, mean.
Mean, like our akin to.
But then National Adoption Month. So how do the two tie together?
Yeah, dove those two together for me.
Well, I have a big family. I have 6 kids, and I have 3 biological kids and 3 kids who were adopted. And my 3 who were adopted are from China. And so when we adopted, I have been an artist for many, many years. I've done a lot of music over the years, and I'm a speaker, and I've been a Compassion International artist for a long, long time.
Mm.
And as you travel and tour, you meet a lot of kids, and you meet a lot of kids in really tough spaces, and you end up meeting a lot of orphans. And so my husband and I, as we were praying about that, we just realized that if you're over about the age of 3, and especially if you have any kind of medical needs, the chances of a child in that situation being adopted is just really slim. And so we always said we didn't adopt because we needed more kids. We adopted because kids need families, and we thought we had room. And so we adopted older kids, though. So they come, you know, our kids were 9, 8, and 6 when they came home with us. And, you know, they got their culture, they're established, they knew everything. And so this story is, you know, they came here and everything is different. It's a pretty massive culture shock. They, you know, it's a different language, it's a different country, it's all different, everything. And, you know, one of the things that was really hard for my kiddos was food. You know, you think if you got a new family and they were excited to have a new family, they were, you know, they had been wanting a family their whole lives. But then, you know, I think a huge experience for kids in that situation is just fear of the unknown and fear of what they're coming to. And so the book is just the story of our family learning to make dumplings, because this was a food, especially for my son Noah, this was a food that he missed so much from China. And you can imagine if you went somewhere else and they're like, oh, you know, we have no idea how to make pizza and we're not doing that again. You know, and you're just, as a kid, you'd be like, what, how can that be? And so it's just sort of the journey of our family learning to make dumplings, but the idea being to say, you know, you are welcome, you are our family. We don't all have to be exactly the same to love each other. And That's our book.
Did they speak English when? I have a twofold question. Number one, did they speak English when they came home with you? And how much more difficult is it to bring kids of that age into the home than much younger kids?
Well, first answer is easy. No, they didn't. I mean, Ethan could. It's Noah, Ethan, and Anna, and Ethan could count to about 10. He'd had some English at school, but that was about it. And the other two, not at all. And actually, just to me, more confusing, Ethan and Noah spoke Mandarin, and Anna spoke Cantonese, so poor Anna couldn't even speak to the boys. They learned so fast. I mean, it's crazy when you're put into an immersion situation like that, like they were, how fast just, you know, child brains will learn. So we got along. Plus, I have some really good friends and neighbors who are Chinese, and several families that we've been connected with over the years, and they were very helpful to us in early days, as was Google Translate. But, that was definitely a challenge. But then, yeah, I can't really speak to what it would be like to adopt a younger kid, as I haven't done that, but it is definitely challenging. I mean, there's some things about the child being older that I think would actually be helpful, in that you can explain what's happening in a way that maybe you couldn't with an infant or, you know, even a toddler. They knew what was going on. Well, Anna didn't, but that's another story. Nobody really told her what was happening. But once we figured that out, we could explain it. But, you know, the boys had been told they were going to the U.S., and they knew, I mean, at 9 and 8 years old, they definitely obviously knew they did not have families and wanted one. And that part was easy. But, yeah, you're dealing with a lot of history and trauma and fears and all that kind of thing. And obviously they don't know you. So, you know, you can know all day you're a nice person, but it takes them a while to figure
sure,
that
takes
out.
Takes them a while.
So,
why China?
Yeah.
With all the places there are, you had your heartstrings were torn toward China. Why was that?
Yeah, people ask me that all the time. And I say, I didn't actually choose China. I chose Noah. So we had been praying, actually at the time we were praying about Uganda, because I've done, as I said, a lot of overseas just poverty relief work and anti-trafficking work and stuff like that, and we had some connections to Uganda, and so we were looking at that. But as we were looking, the agency we were working with had their waiting children alpha by country, and waiting is that's an actual class of children. That's children who are, they're paper ready. They are, you know, just the last step is to find a family, but for whatever reason, they're having a hard time. And usually waiting children are waiting because of either their age or medical status. And in Noah's case, it was both. And so as we were working with this agency, I just happened across Noah's information, and the Lord made it so clear to us, I mean, through various things, but I actually had almost no interest in a child that old, and we were looking at sibling groups, so he was a single child, and we were looking in Africa, he was in China, but God just made it very, very clear to us that that was to be our son, and he had a serious medical condition that I was really afraid of, and so, like, I think often, like, God had to be so clear because I would have been too afraid. So anyway, that is how he happened to be in China. And so we had to go to China. And then once you do, you know, it is a very complicated thing to adopt internationally. And once we had gone to China, we felt like going back was the right plan, both because we were familiar, but also because you'd really understand once you bring home an older kid, like, how big a deal culture is. And we just thought it would be so hard to be the only kid in your family who, you know, was of your race or your cultural background or the only one adopted or any of those things. And so we thought, well, if his health needs, if we can stabilize him, it would be great to give them sort of the gift of siblings that that got it, you know, and they have been such a blessing to each other because they have a lot of similarities in their history and their you know, stories, and that's actually, we've just watched the Lord use that in all of their lives. So that's how we ended up doing China three times.
You know, Jennifer, this is such a packed full information time because I'm a poppy, and I have a great niece from China, and we've watched that, and we've watched that, we watched that culture unfold in front of us, and to watch this young lady assimilate with her brothers and sisters here, and to watch her just excel has been pretty neat. And we all know that, Keith, when you look at a family, they are going to look different because they are not just a straight Caucasian American, right?
Right.
But yet you close your eyes and you realize they're right here and part of the family. And she was younger, and it was quite a process. My other son has adopted here from a family in African American, if all this just sounds like it's just all cherry pie, pumpkin pie, and all this, it's not easy, okay? And I don't care which situation you're in. And Jennifer's doing a very good job as a mom doing this morning. But there's a lot of challenges that go in with both family members. But at the Market Days, this is a big market here. And you have been on Highway. We have friends that live down by Cincinnati, across the river in Covington, Kentucky. And you've got, there's a couple of festivals just south of Columbus that we've gone to before. And it's funny, when you go to these places and see all these different types of people, there was a group walk by us that I knew that had a lot of adopted kids in their family, Keith, at Market Days.
Okay.
To which I looked at the mothers and I said, ha-ha, I see the kids, the one that you chose, not the ones that were forced upon you, right?
Yeah.
And so you've got six, three, you just got to say, okay, ready or not, here we come. The others you get to choose. I'm looking at the book, Dumplings Mean Family. So now, as I'm looking at the book, Keith, and my co-host is blind, and so I will be kind to him this morning because he's my buddy. Now,
you are so sweet.
Dumplings. So now look down at the picture now that you said it.
Yeah.
And there is a commercial, and I don't remember if it's a credit card commercial or whatever, but there is a Asian culture family together, and they're in the kitchen, and Grandma is, and it's a short commercial, it's not very long, but they're showing the family making dumplings. Have you seen it yet?
Me? No, I haven't, but wow. That would be so typical, yes.
So here's Grandma showing the kids what doing there. So, but I want to look at your dumplings here for just a minute. What is this type of dumpling? Tell me about it.
Okay, this is a traditional northern Chinese dumpling, and we actually, in the book is a 32-page kids book, right? So it's a picture book, and we made it for families to read together with families, but we also put the dumpling recipe in the back of the book, and on our website, dumplingsmeanfamily.com, we also made videos of how to do it, and I actually even have a couple of my kids showing you how to pinch them, and my boys did a video telling you how to pronounce the Chinese in the book and things like that. But a dumpling is one of the most traditional Chinese foods, and the one we featured was a flavor from north, from Noah's hometown, which is Qingdao. And they're just pork and cabbage, but you can have anything you want in a dumpling. So it's basically a circle of pasta, and you put something in the middle. It's usually some kind of meat and veggie in the middle, and then you pinch it in half, like a half moon, and fold that together, and then you can, boiling is the most common where he's from, but you can also steam them, or if you pan fry them, that's what we call pot stickers here in the U.S. A lot of people call that pot stickers, but that's how you cook it. It's not, the dumpling is the thing you're cooking. And, you eat it with a sauce, and they're absolutely delicious.
Well,
and, you know, so many cultures have one. You know, it's a Chinese ravioli. It's like a, you know, a samosa from India. You know, just a lot of a pierogi. You know, it's the Chinese version of that.
I thought that, you know, my experience with dumplings is like a biscuit.
No, Keith. Let me tell you something.
There's, I mean, that's been it, right?
When you go home, you have Kathy describe this to you, because I want to go back to cabbage and pork for just a minute inside this puppy. That's one I'd be sitting at your table in about 15 minutes, and I would have my soy sauce, and I would also have my, what's that red hot sauce everybody uses? Come on, it's the Asian sauce. It's hot.
Oh, well, we use chili oil, but you probably mean the Vietnamese one, which, why am I blanking on?
Me
too. Sriracha.
That's it. Sriracha. Thank you very much. Sriracha sauce. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes everything taste better.
Really?
Now, Keith, let me hand you the book for just a moment.
Okay.
And by the way, for you that are listening,
hard-covered book.
334-5532 is the number if you want it. Ooh. Thanks to our author, you can have it, and we will instruct Darren to when it can. Would you hand it back to me now? You're holding on to
keep it.
No, I'm going to read something.
Because I was
going to
read it to my granddaughter. Oh, I can't read it.
Well, you could. Okay. So, Keith, let
so
me
what
just
age? Share. What age kiddos, by the way?
We just say elementary, but okay. I mean, it's as I said, 32-page picture book, so that's more K to three. But given that, you know, just given the things that people are talking about with it, like I do a ton of school visits, and I've been doing those from, you know, K through five or even six. Because a lot of sixth graders do a Chinese unit, and everybody seems to, I mean, the response to it's been really incredible. The kids are amazing, too, when I talk to them. Super fun.
Now, I'm going to tell you how off this grandpa is, and I'm a poppy, not a grandpa. And I think it's public now that I'm going to be I better think here for a minute.
You better think of it. You're going to be a...
Yeah, I better wait for just a minute and make sure. Yeah. Mary, you better text me.
It public information?
Yeah, is it public information? I think
so. You already
so.
Let the cat have
well,
out
no,
of the
I,
bag.
No, no, guy, I've got a lot of potentials.
Head, front legs
okay.
are out. Yes, you do.
Keith, dumplings mean family. Now, listen to me closely, Jennifer, before you fall off your chair. Number one, I thought dumpling was the name of a kid, and I thought mean was ugly, okay? Dumplings mean family. You got it, Keith?
I got that, yeah.
But I opened the book, and when I opened the book, it didn't take me but about, because I'm a sharp knife, you know.
Yeah, you are, I'm telling you.
I opened the book, dumplings mean family, and I'm looking at the different dishes here. So,
this
she could have said dumplings equate to family, but that wouldn't
oh,
sound
Oh, my goodness, Keith.
That wouldn't sound good.
No, not at all.
But that's what she means.
But now
right?
I mean... She dumplings means. Really mean family.
Yeah, don't mean like ugly. It
but,
means mean like mean.
But now right? you've done something that has just blown my mind on the cover, Jennifer. The young man is holding chopsticks. I cannot use chopsticks.
Oh,
I've tried them with rubber bands. I've tried them any way that I can. So let me ask you a question, Jennifer Shaw.
Are you
can
a
you eat? Can you eat soup with chopsticks?
You drink soup.
No one eats soup with chocolate.
Well, I'm just asking.
You drink soup, right?
Yeah, I do. Even but the Chinese people are not eating soup with chocolate.
Well,
that would be silly.
A little hot and sour, with a little hot and sour soup and some of the vegetables that are in it is what I was referring to.
So how about the rest of the cuisine? Do you eat use chopsticks at your house?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously not all the time, but,
I'd be pretty skinny.
When we went to China, I mean, you can get a spoon. You can't even find a fork. We could use chopsticks before we went too, but, I'm pretty great.
That's pretty good.
I would be real skinny if I had to eat chopsticks.
So, dumplings mean family, yep. And I see by Jennifer Shaw, but I see illustrated by Rena?
Rena.
Now, tell me who that is.
Well, Rena is my oldest daughter. So, Rena just finished college last May in the middle of a pandemic, which has been an adventure. And she is an artist. So, she finished her degree in illustration and... she's actually a double major in illustration and creative writing. And so when we thought about doing this book, I was like, this would be unbelievably fun if we could do this together. And so I went to her and I said, what do you think? And she loved the idea. And we put that together. It's so definitely a family project. And so I love her. As soon as I thought of the story, she has several styles that she does. And I just could see it in my head in this one style, and I called her and I said, this is what I want. What do you think? And she started sending me sketches, and you know, it was just perfect. It was, you know, I'd think of a picture and she'd be drawing the same illustration, and only better, because she's really good.
How did the idea for the book come about? I mean, is this your first endeavor into a book situation?
Well, I've written, I have another book called Life Not Typical, which is about my son, but it's, you know, a grown-up book. It's a regular book. And I write a lot for, you know, magazines and online publications and things like that. And obviously, I write a lot of songs. I've written hundreds and hundreds of songs. But this is my first children's book. And the idea was really because we, you know, I'm in front of a lot of audiences, and it's a frustration that, you know, if you share your adoption story, I know families who have adopted because of our adoption story, and you know that if you could share it, you know, the Lord would use that. And people kept asking me because of my other book, you know, when are you writing this book? When are you writing this book? And you realize when you get these kids home that you're never going to write that book. I cannot write that book because my kids need to feel safe in my home, and their privacy is paramount, and they've been through a lot. I could write a very riveting book, and I'm not going to. So I was just praying about that, and I was asking the Lord, because as a child advocate, you know, and I want to tell people, if you're interested, you know, at dumplingsmeanfamily.com, we have information how you can adopt through Madison Adoption Associates. We have information how you can support a child through Compassion International, just all these, how you can give toward a family who is bringing home an older, medically fragile kid. We have lots of stuff there. But I was just looking for ways to share that without really going into the nitty-gritty of my kids', you know, private life. And I just had this idea out of nowhere, right? But I think that was the Lord. And it was so perfect. And then the story itself was because, you know, my son, when he asked for dumplings, and I didn't know how to make them, and that's like, you know, it's like telling someone you don't know how to make a grilled cheese sandwich. You know, like, right. It's such a normal food in China. And he looked literally alarmed. I mean, he looked like, I don't even know if this woman is going to be a competent mother. If you don't know how to make that, it's like saying, can you make me a sandwich? And you're like, nope, don't know how. But I also could see on his face, like, in China, you make dumplings for family, you make them for holidays, you make them for family dinners, and it's something that it's kind of a pain in the bum because you have to do all the pinching. And so they make a big batch of filling, and often families are sitting around a table and everyone is pinching their dumplings together. And, you know, it just sort of screams family holiday, family time. And he had seen that on television, and he wanted that. And he thought when he got a family, that was something he would be doing. And so I could just see in that moment, like, this was way more than just a food he missed. Like, this meant something more to him. This meant family to him. And I thought, you know, you've lost a lot. You've had a lot in your life. And this is something you don't have to lose. Like, we can give you this feeling and this family. And we wanted to say, you know, our family isn't, you know, we're Chinese, we're American, because you're here. Like, it's better that you're here. We're more interesting. Our family is better because of what you bring to it. And it's not going to be all about you becoming like us. It's going to be all about us becoming a family together. And so I just had the idea for the dumplings version of it. And it's been a pretty great experience. And the kids love the book. I mean, the kids, I took it to them first, actually, to ask permission. You know, I was like, do I have permission to tell this story? And they love it. They call it our book. So they're always excited to see. They get to be little, you know, mini celebrities around here now that the books come to their schools and stuff. So,
like, Jennifer, I need to ask you a question. I know you're in Columbus. I know it's almost 9 o'clock instead of 8, so you're way ahead of us.
Yeah, she
okay?
is.
Yeah.
What's your next half hour like? Because we got so many more questions to ask you, and we're pushed up against our 8 o'clock time frame. Are you okay?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I just got a text from my wife, And I will tell you, I'm going to be a great grandfather.
Oh, congratulations.
My oldest grandson, Eli, and his wife, Tara, are be delivering us a grandchild. And I thought it was public, but boy, I wasn't sure.
Hey, good for you, Jack.
And when we come back, I want to talk about the Shaw family picture that I'm looking at in the book and the wonderful family. And I want to say to you, Seshe, thank you very much.
Seshe?
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Seshe.
What does that mean?
My goodness, thank you, Keith.
Oh, Seshe.
Tell her hello.
Seshe. Hello?
Come on, Nihao, Nihao. Come on.
Nihao, Nihao.
See, I brought the incredible acrobats of China to Branson almost 12 or 15 years ago. So I have a little culture exchange.
Yes, he's culturally plugged in. We're going to continue, and Jennifer's going to stay with us, so you should do the same. We'd love to have you here at the round table for the 8 o'clock half hour of Good Morning Ozarks. 32 degrees here in Branson today. I don't know, Jennifer, what it is in Columbus, Ohio, but we'll be back with you on the other side of this break. Darren's going to keep us updated on the weather. Stay tuned. Welcome to the 8 o'clock half hour of Good Morning Ozarks. Keith O'Neill and Charlie Ingram with you on a Monday morning. It's the 22nd day of November. Glad you're with us this morning right here at the round table. It is a pleasure, Mr. Ingram. And Jennifer Shaw stayed with us. Book is called
Dumplings Mean Family.
Yeah.
Not great. Dumplings Mean Family.
No, not Mean Family, but
Dumplings Mean Family.
Said she could written Dumplings Equate to Family, but that doesn't flow near as well. Jennifer, thank you for staying with us.
Now, I do this with Keith quite a bit, so we're going to see how he does before I dive back into some of the recipe type stuff in the book. And by the way, book available. Last time I'll be asking that. Otherwise, we'll go to our library.
Are you going to read the recipe before we're done?
In a minute.
I'd like to know.
417-334-5532, Dumplings Mean Family.
Yep.
Keith, I've got notes I've taken for myself over here. And what I'd like for you to do for about the next 20, 30, 40 seconds, I want you to just to highlight some of the points.
Highlight some of the points. Yeah.
That have been made. From example, title of the book, Keith.
Dumplings Mean Family.
Okay. The cover of the book, Keith, we've described it to you a couple of times. What do you think's on the cover?
Dumplings and family sitting around a table pinching dumplings.
No.
Oh, okay.
We have little girl, we have older brother and younger brother,
yeah,
and we have older brother in the middle with chopsticks in his left hand with a dumpling raised up and dumplings piled in front of him. There's your cover.
So he's a lefty and chopsticks?
Yes.
Ooh. Now, is that a picture, or is that a cartoon picture? You didn't say that.
It's a character.
Character?
Yeah.
Okay. Drawn by Jennifer's daughter.
Correct. Okay. And her name was?
Rana? Jennifer, one more time about your daughter.
It's Rena. Which no one has ever heard of in their lives, but actually is in one of the genealogies in the Old Testament, and it means Song of Joy, and I thought that was beautiful.
Love it.
Did you peruse all those names before naming her?
Oh, my goodness. She was my first. I oversaw it. The entire world.
Sure.
Yeah, I think I had gone through, I don't know, thousands of names.
Oh,
and
yeah.
As a Jennifer, you know, as a Jennifer in my generation, I had 12 Jennifers in my 7th grade gym class.
Oh, my goodness.
And I, you know, 19 girls, 12 of us were Jennifer. Oh. And I thought, nope, she's going to have a name nobody has. And then you do that, and you realize nobody can say it or spell it. And so then we had, you know, Rachel and Toby.
But that's okay, because I have a granddaughter named Macy, and she's in athletics. And if you're on the basketball court or you're in the volleyball court, come on, Macy, and three of them on her team look at you, because there's two others besides her on the court, spelled a little differently but pronounced the same. Okay, Keith, I got something else here for you. You're doing pretty good so far. What was two of the ingredients that the Shaw family likes in their dumplings?
Well, pork and cabbage.
Excellent.
And flour, I guess, for the outside, right?
Well, the flour. What do you mean flour?
Well, I mean flour like you make biscuits out of. Is that right?
You have to ask Jennifer.
Jennifer, did we put flour around it?
No, Keith. She's too polite.
It's more like pasta.
There
it's
you
like,
go.
But yes, it's just flour, so it's flour and water, and you roll it out in a circle,
so
like
that...
a circle of pasta, and then you put the stuff in the middle and pinch it around it like a pocket.
So
don't try to
flour. I was right. She just said flour,
but not like a biscuit. They're different.
Okay. It's like a noodle.
It's like a pasta. Yeah,
well, pastas
I would
are
give
noodles.
You that.
So you give me that. All right.
Now, how many children does she have?
She mentioned a couple of others. Maybe six.
Six is right. Okay, and three and three. Okay,
because Jennifer, I didn't study for this test. You know.
Now.
Top of my head. It's a pop quiz.
I will hold it against you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, what I like is the fact that when I'm looking in this book, I'm seeing some American food mentioned, and I'm trying to see what page it's on. I can't find it. But you've got some pizza also in here, too, don't you?
Oh.
I do.
How did the kids take to pizza?
Well, two of them, let's see, one of them loves it, one of them thinks it's fine, and one of them is not a fan.
Huh.
So... weirdly enough, one of the things that they don't really have in China is cheese. So you can imagine how many American foods that is a problem for. So two of the kids have gotten to where they really like cheese, and one of them is not a fan. And so he can eat pizza. If you make him eat pizza, he'll eat it if he has to, but... He is the only kid at school who's not excited for pizza day.
We've gone to Pizza Hut with our grandkids and had them all go in and order what they want. And the one orders, I like pizza with no sauce.
No sauce.
No sauce and nothing else.
Oh, my
okay,
goodness.
Okay, just bring me a piece of bread.
Baby.
Now, I also see a hamburger here, eggs, bacon, and I think you might have a picture of my favorite. When I have a Chinese dish, I want more of this, Keith. Are those some shrimp I see?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she says, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
You like that shrimp.
Oh, I love the shrimp. And you can, and it makes beef and broccoli so well, and it makes so many other great Chinese dishes.
Are any of those three kiddos that you adopted, are they related in any way, or were they all from separate families?
Well, they're all from different cities, so we're assuming that they would not know each other.
And was that through compassion?
No, Compassion does poverty relief. A lot of our kiddos in Compassion have families. We're just trying to sponsor them, to support them. And you can write to them, they'll write back, and it's the kind of thing where we're doing family preservation there, because that's the bottom 2% of income for the world. So you can't be a Compassion kiddo unless your family makes less than $1.80 a day. And so you can imagine a lot of kids actually end up as orphans because their families can't feed them. And that is, in my mind, that's just an absolute tragedy. There is no, you know, that is a poverty issue. That's not an adoption issue. People should... If at all possible, we should be keeping kiddos with their birth families. That is absolutely what's best for them, you know, psychologically and in all other ways. And so that's what Compassion does. But we used Madison Adoption Associates, which is an adoption agency, a really wonderful, highly ranked adoption agency that specializes in older kiddos and kiddos who are, you know, harder to place, and they really are just tireless advocates for some of the kiddos that, you know, as I said, were really my husband and my heart when we got into this. And so it was sort of those trips with Compassion where you're meeting, you know, the kids over and over, and you just realize, gosh, these kids are just children. Like, there's never no child has ever done anything to put themselves in that position. And, you know, it's always the adults or the government or a war or a storm or whatever it may be that means a kid needs a new family. But they, you know, they've just been wonderful. So, yes, that was we wanted to reach out to that population. And you just kind of can't help it. Once you have met a lot of those kids, you just realize that they have all the potential and all the all the amazing stuff that every kid has, you know, and it's not their fault they're in this situation. And so that was why we were moved to go that direction.
My daughter, when she was just getting out of junior high, going into high school, adopted two kids through a Compassion, started sponsoring them.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
one
yeah.
of them's name was Aurora, and Julie is, she's written songs as well. And so she wrote a tune called Aurora's Eyes, and she saw the love in Aurora's eyes. And boy, you talk about kids that need some folks to come around them and just love on them and support them, and Compassion pours Christ's love into them. That's a great organization, and I'll always remember them because of the song Aurora's Eyes. And so you're doing, you did a great job, and with this this website that you have, which is called DumplingsMeanFamily.com, right?
Yep.
You can find out about adoption. You can find out about Jennifer, and we can follow the book and much more. So you're doing a great job, and we appreciate it very much.
Jennifer, I really enjoyed flipping through the pages of this book. And on the page that I'm on now is some ingredients, Keith. And every one of these ingredients from a Chinese food I really like. Now, I realize there's I told you I brought the Chinese acrobats to the community. We had the opportunity to have the international people from China that sponsored them to come and have a traditional Chinese dinner in Springfield at Mr. Yen's, the big new one.
Oh, yeah.
Had a special room, the big round table.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, they passed me a bunch of stuff that came by me, and I'm leaning over and go, where's the beef and broccoli? When we engaged in the discussion, food for so many years, so hard to get, they ate everything, Keith. Mm. And so for our American stomachs and our eyes, we sometimes would poo-hoo that. Right. But so important. So here you go, Keith. I'm going to give you some of these ingredients.
Okay. Right.
I love every one of these.
Oh, do you?
Okay.
Okay.
Now, Napa cabbage, is that a particular type of cabbage?
It is. You can use any type of cabbage, but the Napa is more traditional. It's a little thinner, and it's a little, you know, it's not quite as solid, I guess, as regular green cabbage, but it's yummy.
And doesn't it look more like leaves than regular cabbage head?
Yeah, it's going to be like the shape of like a romaine.
Yes.
Like a head of romaine. So it's like that longer, thinner shape. But you can find find Napa anywhere. I haven't had a problem getting it at any grocery, although a lot of this, I do have a really nice Chinese grocery right near my house that I go to for a lot of this. But at just sort of any grocery, you can usually find Napa.
Now, the next one is one that kind of throws me a little bit. Dumpling wrappers.
Yeah, that's the harder one.
What are dumpling wrappers?
So you can make your dumpling wrappers, and that's the pasta. And so they're not complicated. They're just time consuming. So that basically a dumpling wrapper is just going to be flour and water. I mean, that's all it is, just mixed together. And then you put it in balls and roll it out into these circles, right? But you can imagine, like, our family, we have 8 people in our family, and there's not going to be anyone who eats less than 6 dumplings for dinner. And so, and some of my boys would eat 12, you know, so how long that would take to do all of those. So you can buy in Asian grocery stores, these are easy to find because everybody makes dumplings, but you can just buy packages of stamped out. It's like pre-made. It's like buying a pie crust in a box.
Yeah, there you go.
Like you can buy the dumpling wrappers.
I got that picture.
How big around are these dumplings?
Well, the wrapper itself is probably about 3.5 inches across.
But they're not round,
so,
Keith.
So, and then you fold it in half,
and then
you often fold the top. So I say when you're done, they're maybe 2 inches done, and maybe 2.5, depending on your wrapper. But they're not large.
So I can see why you could eat 12 of them.
Sure. Now,
they're pretty small.
Yeah. If you're a teenage boy,
and
especially if your brothers are saying, haha, I can eat more than you, which does happen.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I have a question, though, because this kind of goes to my palate for just a minute. when I watch them boil, now, look, you give me an egg roll, you give me a crab ragoon, you drop that down in the deep fryer for a little bit, in the wok for a little bit, and bring her out. Man, I'm all over it. But but when you boil them, explain that to me. What's my texture when they come out of being boiled?
They're going to be a little bit like a ravioli. You know how you would boil a ravioli, and it's just boiled pasta. So, yeah, they're not... they're a little firmer than a ravioli is. So they're not, there's nothing, just tastes like noodles. You know, it's not slimy or anything like that.
Right.
You know, it's a pretty firm pasta. So, and then inside the beef, whatever you've put in it, you know, the meat and the veggies have cooked into something that's pretty firm, you know, almost like a meatball.
Yep.
If it's gonna, yeah. So, you know, if you think about it in those terms, like spaghetti and meatballs, but without the sauce.
Yep.
And then you use a different sauce. So it's like a dipping sauce. Usually it's like a chili, vinegar, soy dipping sauce.
We're going to continue with cooking Chinese with Charlie and Jennifer in just a moment on Good Morning Ozark. Stay with us. 32 degrees when you got started today. It's Monday morning, the 22nd day of November. Keith O'Neill and Charlie Ingram here. Jennifer Shaw from Columbus, Ohio is our guest. Dumplings mean family. And Jennifer, let's return to this cooking show. He had some things. And by the way, if you missed any of what Jennifer had to say and Charlie as they build a dumpling together, you could go to klfcradio.com later today and find out all that Jennifer had to say in the last half hour. And this one, and get links to her website as well.
As we wrap up, Keith, I will tell you there's some ingredients on the other side of the page here. Sesame oil, which I love the taste of sesame oil. Green onions, great also. Soy sauce. Which brand do you use, Jennifer?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot of good ones. I think right now we have Yamasa, which, again, you're going to get that at an Asian grocery store, but... Yeah, there's tons of good.
Sure. Ginger is another great one. And then for me, on the very bottom side, you put pork, but if it had been me and I'm making my list, I would have shrimp, I would have beef, I would have chicken, I would have some other things. Pork is probably even though you put it with the cabbage, would be great. But you've just done a great job with this book. And once I figured out what it was, even better job. But Dumplings Mean Family. Jennifer Shaw has been our guest this morning. Jennifer, I want to tell you what's happened here in the studio. My co-host, I told you, he's a special man, and once I pick on him a little bit, reinforcements started coming in. The friends of his started coming to the studio, including his wife. So I feel I must have really messed up.
Well, my wife was here on Thursday and Friday, Jennifer. She sits here and plays some Charlie and trying to fill his shoes. They're pretty big shoes to fill, but she does a great job. And then we've got some longtime listeners to our program from California. They listen every morning, Rod and Sue Ashley, and they're here with us visiting in Branson. So the studio did fill up, but they are very interested and excited about your book. So we'll pass that along. Pass it around to them, and they'll get to take the recipe of dumplings back to California.
So, Keith, here you
go. Awesome.
I'm going to try to get this done for you. You ready?
Okay.
Let's try it.
All right.
Because this is how I was taught when the Chinese acrobats came to town. Are you ready? Take your hand and put on your knee.
On my knee. Okay.
And put your hand up like you're an Indian. No, the same hand, Keith, not the two hands. The hand on your knee, you're going to raise up like an Indian.
Okay.
So go again. Knee.
Just do it. Knee, hand, knee, air.
No, I said, put your hand up like an Indian, and what do they say?
How?
Thank you. Now try that again.
How?
No, you start with your knee, Keith.
What's my knee got to do with
knee? How?
No, knee how. Oh, he's teaching me Chinese. I didn't get it, Jennifer. Knee how.
No, there
knee
you go. How. There you go.
Knee how.
See? How do you do, Jennifer?
Well.
My accent mess you up?
Knee how. It has to go down and up both times. You got to go knee how.
Would you give a little blessing or greeting to our Good Morning Ozarks folks here in Branson, Missouri in Chinese?
Oh, man.
She's from Columbus, Ohio.
Well, I know,
she's
but
she's
from Shanghai.
Chinese
kids.
I would say... ni hao, and then I would say, wo de Anna, Ethan, Noah, de, Oh, you're making me blank.
Hey,
I was trying to say I'm their family, but I'll say DeMama. I'm their mama.
Yeah, mama. Okay, okay. I got gotcha. You.
Yeah, yo mama. Okay.
You're wonderful.
You know, I don't say she's from Columbus.
Well, I know just it, but she adopted three Chinese kids.
You just sprung that on me like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, Jennifer, don't worry. Yeah. I'm watching this unfold. It's like asking somebody from Europe, could you speak something in German for me because you've had sauerkraut?
Well, I don't know. I mean, good grief.
So,
he has three kids.
So,
well, I have been trying. I say I have a good second or third year high school Mandarin at this point. My brain is old, man. I've tried really hard, and I'm finally getting somewhere. Trying so hard, but my kids, they do shake their heads at me a lot. They're like, "Mama, Mama." You
I
know,
think the translator you have other skills. That you have, the translators that we have on our phones and stuff, have to be a great help. I would imagine.
We got a mic. Mm-hmm. We have something here. What you got?
What?
Well, I have a really close friend who's Chinese. And she's married to an American, and they are just adorable together. But he always says to her, "You funny, you must be Chinese."
Whenever they do something that they chuckle at. So. Yeah, and she took us to a Chinese place in Omaha, Nebraska, and she ordered everything on the menu. And there was some stuff passed by me that Kathy punched me and said, "You might not want to eat."
Yeah, because it was pig's ears and chicken's feet and stuff like that. Yeah,
but it was authentic.
Oh, we do. Yeah, we get the pig ears up here. My boys love those. Yeah, it is interesting because the food in China is not what we call Chinese food is Chinese American food,
yes.
And it was kind of made up. It's a super interesting story that you can look up later if you want. But it's like during the gold rush when the first Chinese immigrants were out west and they were just trying to figure out how to make a living, and they started cooking, and they sort of invented it all for the palates of the people who were out there, who had, they had all, those people had all, been coming from the east to the west, and then the Chinese people came, and so they kind of invented what we call Chinese food, but it is not the same, and the food in China, I have to say, is amazing. I have traveled all over the world, and some of my favorite food I've ever had. And so this dumpling recipe, I was very pleased that I have, as I said, several families that we have been good friends with for a long time who are all from different parts of China, and they all told me it's a good recipe.
All right. Well, you got the seal of approval.
Well, I'm going to tell you,
this
has been great. Dumplings mean family. Thanks for spending your time with us today. It's been greatly appreciated. Would you help me be correct in my language, please, so that I don't mess this up? When I do talk about the cultures, is it all right to say Asian families?
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay, mm-hmm. Because I have some very sensitive people that are around me, and sometimes I might use some words that probably are too delicate and not being used in the right direction. I want to make sure I'm doing that correctly.
Asian families is appropriate.
Yep, does move. It, yes, I know what you're saying, and that is the preferred term.
Got it. Thank you very much. God bless you. Have a great day. Adoption month, let's not forget it. And it's a big, big deal. Jennifer Shaw has been our guest from the great state of Ohio.
Yeah, and you didn't ask her the question. You always ask somebody from Ohio.
But because I don't know that she's a big Buckeye. She's not a Buckeyes fan. It won't mean anything to her.
Do you follow Ohio State at all, or your husband?
I mean, I live here.
If I told you,
did I watch the game? Yes, I did watch the game, and did we trounce them? Yes, we did.
Yes, but if I told you that I dotted the I at Ohio State, would you think I was somebody special?
I would be so impressed by that. Did you really do that?
No, I didn't.
I just wanted to know
what you'd say.
Wait, how did that happen? That's huge. No, that's a big deal. And there you go. I'll trade you. Guess what the Shaw family did on the Great Wall of China?
Oh, what did you do?
We did.
I bet you did. You know what? And that's perfectly all right because Purdue scored more points against you than anybody.
Oh,
and I'm going to take one to Keith's line. We got close.
You got close.
Hey, God bless you.
God bless you, Jennifer. Thank you very much for being with us. Bring the whole crowd down to Branson, and we'll treat you good.
Oh, I'd love that. Thank you for having me.
All right, God bless you. Thank you.